we've just completed a very exhaustive electoral process for the parliament. And even though it's been marred by corruption, some intimidation, harassment and so on, basically the outcome of that parliamentary process has been very positive. We now face the election of the president in about less than 2 weeks' time. It's imperative that that election is handled correctly, that corruption and manipulation are eliminated, because then we will have a president who's viewed as legitimate both by the Somali population and by the international community. And that is essential, because Somalia faces many really very pressing and urgent challenges. The first being the drought, which is deepening in its impact. It's very serious. It may be the most serious drought since 2011, 2012. Secondly, security, which is not just a technical issue. It's about agreeing the political basis upon which Somalia will strengthen its security forces. But there's also the issue of supporting AMISOM to do its work. A third issue is conflict resolution. There are six or seven fairly serious inter-clan, interstate conflicts around the country, any one of which, if it erupts, could undermine the progress that Somalia has made. And then, very importantly, a constitutional review process, because the great success over the last few years has been the emergence of a federal state. The last state was formed only 2 months ago, Hirshabelle. But still to be determined is the relationship of the federal government with the federal member states, the powers of the president versus the prime minister, the relationship of the new upper house, which has been formed on geographical lines, with the lower house, which is formed on clan lines. And so revenue and resource sharing, you know, how the justice sector will be divided between the center and the region. So there's a very big political conversation to be had, and it's going to be difficult to crack through all these issues: drought, conflict resolution, security reform, constitutional review, unless there's a government that's viewed as legitimate and that is determined to move down this path.
In your last briefing, you said the humanitarian situation had deteriorated during that reporting period, and now you do mention the drought. How serious is the situation?
You know, the situation is very serious. I mean, my personal experience of this is going to a market in Bellatwane about 2 weeks ago, a livestock market, and meeting the farmers, meeting the traders. The price of livestock has collapsed. Access to water has been dramatically reduced. This means that there is more conflict over resources. More people are moving into urban areas, so there's more internally displaced people. And we're talking about 5 million people or so affected, according to our colleagues on the humanitarian side. The consequences for women, children, families, lifestyles, coping capacities are dramatic. But there are also political and security aspects to this, because, you know, a relatively new government, the first test it has as far as the population is concerned is whether it can help them cope with the drought. And if it doesn't do that, then its own legitimacy will be questioned. Somaliland has just postponed its elections because of the drought. So it has big political knock-on effects. And from a security point of view, it's also a concern, because Al-Shabaab, last time there was a major, major drought, you know, exploited the fact that people needed access. They're now claiming to be more responsible than the federal authorities in terms of responding to the drought. And they will exploit the conflicts that may arise as a result of competition for resources and so on. So, you know, our primary concern is humanitarian, but we have to be aware of the political and security dimensions of this as well.
Is there an end in sight for all these humanitarian needs or the dependency on humanitarian aid will persist into the future?
Well, you know, in my view, that depends upon how successful the Somalis are and we are in partnering with them to strengthen the state. I mean, the real litmus test is whether the state can generate revenues to provide public goods, including education, educational opportunities, jobs, infrastructure, and all the things that will be required, including energy, to break Somalia's dependency upon the weather. While Somalia remains dependent upon the weather and upon natural resources, it is, I'm afraid, condemned to these cyclical, humanitarian crises that are exacerbated by global weather systems, exacerbated by exploitation of natural resources. And yet Somalia does have incredible solar potential, thermal wind potential, may have oil and gas. It's got a fantastic diaspora, a very thriving ICT sector. You know, there is strong economic activity and great potential. But so far, the state has been unable or unwilling to tax that economic activity because the business sector doesn't feel it's getting value if it pays taxes. I mean, what the business sector wants is security, it wants infrastructure, maybe it wants vocational training. So that's the key issue to breaking this dependency upon a weather-based economy. And that's what I'm hoping the new government with this new and more legitimate parliament will do over the next 4 years. And that's certainly what we hope to help them to do.
You talked about security, including the drought affecting, having a big potential to affect the security situation. There was a terror attack just yesterday, on Wednesday. And someone who is not on the ground may say the situation is not getting any better, or is not improving, or is it?
Well, you know, Al-Shabaab remains a potent force in terms of its ability to mobilize quickly and mount high-profile, mediagenic attacks, particularly in Mogadishu and against locations where parliamentarians and people with a bit of money congregate. But in fact, it's over the last few years, it has been removed from urban areas. It is now confined to, in terms of territorial control, the south and southwest of the country. It does control large areas of rural areas and access. But it's changing tactics. You know, I think it has been degraded. And the result of that degradation is that they're changing the way they operate. So the question is, how can the AMISOM and Somali National Forces respond to that? So that's the big challenge before us. The fact that they are able to mount these spectacular attacks, such as the one on Wednesday, doesn't mean somehow they're increasing in strength. It may mean precisely the opposite, in fact, that as a way of compensating for their decreased capability, they are desperate to show that they still are relevant. Some people are saying they're doing this partly because they want to fend off any appeal that ISIS might have and show that their brand is still, you know, valid. But they do not represent an existential threat to the state. They don't like the federal project, which is one of the reasons they've stepped up these attacks now during the electoral period. So I think it's really essential we get through this electoral period. We don't let the 8th of February date slip any longer, because the longer this process goes on, the more target-rich the environment is for folk, you know, people like Al-Shabaab.
This is a general question, maybe lastly. What has changed? What have you observed changing in Somalia since you arrived there?
I think one of the most dramatic things has been women's political engagement. This new parliament is 25% of the members are women, which is an extraordinary achievement. The last election in 2012, 135 men selected 275 MPs for the lower house. This one, there was a much broader, not universal franchise, but a much broader electoral process, and women have won 25% of the seats, which is extraordinary. Not just the result, but the whole process that went into that. And I'm happy to say the international community and the UN have been very active in supporting women to achieve that. I think that's an important thing. A second big change, even in the year that I've been there, even though it started before I came, has been the emergence of political structures and political discussions around the country as a result of this federal project. Everything used to be in Mogadishu. Everything, that was it. But now you have five, six state, you know, state capitals around the country, each with its own assembly, each with its own administration, each with its own politics. So you're seeing a different, a different way of trying to tackle things. And I say, as I was mentioning before, this is the real challenge: how to make this federal project work, and figure out what the relationship is between these federal member states and the centre, and how the international community is going to engage with this new political construct. I mean, it's very different from the days of the 60s, 70s, 80s, when you had one government, you know, and everything went through it. We're in new territory. So I'd say, you know, those are a couple of the changes that I've seen that are very encouraging.